Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 10, Immanuel Kant. And our topic is perpetual peace. A distinctive feature of Kant's political philosophy is its cosmopolitanism, globalism, or internationalism. He does not separate domestic politics from international politics. Paying tribute to the cosmopolitan character of Kant's political philosophy, Wolfgang Kersting writes, while Hobbes, Locke, and Rousseau were satisfied with the overcoming the interpersonal natural condition, and allowed the authority of political philosophy to end at the border of the state, Kant took political philosophy beyond the borders of state and saw its foremost object in the highest political good of a just order of world peace. Kant believed that for achieving this highest political good, namely the perpetual peace among the nations or states of the world, we have to overcome not only the natural conditions or state of nature among individuals within nations or states, but also the natural conditions of anarchy or war protectiveness among the states. In fact, he saw these two levels of natural conditions to be interrelated. He maintained that the universal principle of right or justice has to govern not only domestic politics, but also international politics. He writes, moral practical reason within us pronounces the following irresistible veto. There shall be no war, either between individual human beings in the state of nature or between separate states, which, although internally law governed, still live in a lawless condition in their external relationships with one another. For war is not the way in which anyone should pursue his rights. It can indeed be said that this task of establishing a universal and lasting peace is not just a part of the theory of right within the limits of pure reason, but its entire ultimate purpose. Kant disapproved of the reduction of global politics to international diplomatic relations of government. He called for reconceptualizing international society as the global society of mankind. Kant did admit that there is a distinction between domestic laws and the laws of nations, in that the latter, unlike the former, is concerned both with the relationship of one state to another and with the relationship of individuals in one state to individuals in another, and of an individual to another whole state. According to Kant, as we saw above, what raises the human being above the animal world is one's capacity for action in accordance with the principles of moral practical reason. This means that man is not to be valued merely as a means to the ends of other people or even to his own ends, but is to be prized as an end in himself. Hence, when principles of political justice are grounded in moral practical reason, they will help prevent wars in which there is the most blatant use of human beings as means to the ends of others. The autonomy principle of moral practical reason, says Kant, also calls for a republican form of government under which the citizens will not be treated as the mere tools of sovereigns. Kant argues that the enlightened or rational individuals know that the hardship of war fall on them rather than on their rulers, who in fact tend to gain from conflicts and wars. He assumes that all citizens of all countries have a common interest in international peace, while the ruling cliques or regimes tend to have an interest in international conflicts and wars. In his view, therefore, the democratization or republicalization of governments can contribute to international peace, since wars bring more dangers and hardships to the ordinary citizens than to their rulers. Republicans or democratic governments would find it difficult to decide to go to war. In his essay Perpetual Peace in 1795, he wrote that in the interest of perpetual peace, all the nation states should agree to be guided by three definitive articles of peace. Namely, the states should adopt republican constitutions. Republican states should form a Pacific Union or confederation for the prevention of wars. The Pacific Union should make and put into practice two cosmopolitan law to ensure universal hospitality towards foreigners and to prevent foreign conquest and plunder. Now, the concluding comments. Kant's moral and political philosophy has served as a source of inspiration or point of departure for many later thinkers, notably Hegel and such present-day political philosophers as Jürgen Habermas and John Rawls. They feel inspired or provoked by his teachings about human reasons and moral personality, the principles of morality and justice, and the type of political institutions at both national and international levels which sustain and are sustained by those principles. Kant's idea on morality and social contract have influenced Rawls' theory of justice. Habermas' discourse ethics is adapted to Kant's idea of universality of the norms of morality. Hegel, who was 34 years old at the time of Kant's death, accepted Kant's ideal idealist philosophy and radicalized it by correcting its so-called abstract universalism and empty formalism. Hegel objects to Kant's construction of moral principles in regard disregard of human feelings, desires, and motivations, etc. The Kantian moral agent, Hegel felt, would be unhappy and incapable as agents or actors in this world. Hegel also saw the possible dangers of the abstractly universal norms of morality. For example, the revolutionary terror of the French Revolution. In fact, Hegel wrote in 1795, "From the Kantian system and its highest completion, I accept a revolution in Germany." Hegel's criticism fails to appreciate the normative critical nature of Kant's moral and political philosophy. His emphasis on the end in itself nature of the human being as a moral agent cannot be taken to be providing any justification of revolutionary terror. Kant's political philosophy stands for a distinctive form of liberalism, which stresses a peace-oriented cosmopolitan political morality that is centered on the notions of the moral autonomy and moral obligations of all human beings towards one another, both within and across the boundaries of nation states. This is in contrast to the rights-based, individualistic, and utilitarian type of liberalism. This stress on moral obligations or duties in Kant's moral and political philosophy should not be interpreted as any justification of authoritarianism or conservatism. Kant was well aware that the well-off sections of a society would generally be happier with the doctrines of charity and kindness than with any theory that puts them under the obligation of morality and justice or right towards the poor. Now, summary of the unit. Immanuel Kant was a German philosopher of the time of Rousseau, Hume, and Adam Smith. His main concern was with the necessary universal and critical rational principles of morality and justice or righteousness. He agreed with the rationalist and imperialist thinkers of the Enlightenment in placing human nature or human reason rather than the authority of the church, despotic rulers, customs, or traditions at the center or source of human knowledge and morality. He sought to overcome the limitations of both the empiricist and the rationalist by his transcendental idealist view of human reason and its principles of justice and morality. According to Kant, the basic idea of moral law is its universability, which implies the normative idea of the freedom or autonomy and equality of all human beings as moral agents and obligation towards the autonomy of other moral essence. To test the morality of our maxims of action, Kant gives several formulations of what he calls categorically imperatives of pure practical reason, which is not conditional to any particular moral assent or community. The categorical imperative of moral practical reason as applicable to our external realm of action contains a law or principle of right or justice for making my freedom of external action compatible with everyone else's freedom of external action. This law applies even to property. The moral legitimacy of any original appropriation of property remains provisional until it is ratified by a universal agreement of all who are affected by it. It is towards the realization of this ideal requirement of universal right or justice that Kant offers his social contract conceptualization of the state and of the public pacific union of the states on a global level. The cosmopolitanism and the internationalism in Kant's philosophy is very distinctive. He took political philosophy beyond the borders of a state and did not separate domestic politics from international politics, though he admitted that there is a distinction. In his view, democratization and republicanism contributes to international peace. Here we want to wind up this lecture, and we have come to the end of the unit. Thank you so much for your attention.